welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor today...
Sing it, Bill.
Pape Machinery.
That's not singing. Oh, is this like rap? The kind where you just talk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, Pape Machinery is our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. And they handle everything John Deere.
Ag and turf?
For ag and turf, yeah. No soda pop, none of that kind
Sorry.
Of stuff. So go by and see them. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Did you want to interrupt me again?
No, I was trying to stop myself.
Okay. 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can reach them at 226-9226. That's on the telephone. Not the phonograph.
that was in question last week.
Yeah, I know it was.
For those of you who didn't tune in last week.
I thought
week,
I'd clear that up before we
was it Carl says, miss a week, miss a lot.
Yeah.
Miss a week, miss the jokes.
That's right. Or catch them online at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! Because they're
go.
All over the place.
Yeah.
They
are. Seriously.
They're all over the place.
They have 110 locations altogether. And
it's pretty all over the place.
Four states and five states. I can't even keep track of it. Yeah. Big company. Very good company.
Family owned. And they're actually nice to all their employees.
Yep.
And they kept really everybody working, actually,
yes,
this
did.
Year.
Yes,
so,
they did. They
you know, without
everybody employed.
They have more than 500 employees, so they weren't eligible for the Paycheck Protection Program. So they didn't take a bunch of government money to keep them employed. They actually kept them employed working.
That's right.
It's a whole new idea.
Yeah, everybody was happy.
You gotta love the agricultural industry.
Yep.
So let's see. I have.
Yeah. What else do we have?
One thing to add here. So there was a change in the television deal. We have our friend. Rick Trader has been doing a television, we'll call it a project, through the American Uncensored Network. And probably the people who listen to this show are like, finally, something uncensored that isn't, you know.
So far.
That doesn't put a virus in your computer. How about that? So you can actually see this program on KRDT Channel 23.1 Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m.
Be warned, though, I do have a face for radio.
Prepare for radio, too.
Yeah.
But actually, it all sounds the same. But, you know, the buffoonery will be available to you if you'd like it. And I actually do post the videos on the website along with the commercial-free recording of every program. So if you go to our site at wethepeopleradio.us, you can go back probably 10 years. I think it's almost 10 years. This October is 10 years. Of all sorts of topics, all sorts of shows. A lot of them are still relevant. We don't do local topics, and we try not to do things that are, you know, kind of a fly-by-night deal, you know, stuff that's just not going to be valuable for you. So we've done a bunch of shows on issues that involve veterans, a lot of shows on South Africa, and we had our latest update last week. It would be worth reviewing that program if you are interested in what's going on now with the taking down the statues and kind of this feel of this cultural revolution, because South Africa is a little bit ahead of us, but if you want to see what the future looks like if this continues, look at South Africa. China, lots of shows on China, and I believe we'll be going back for an update on China next week. Done lots of shows on political Islam, environmental craziness, because that's always available and never changes. There's never really another version of that.
They've taken kind of a back seat lately.
They have kind of a little bit. Can you imagine that? The environmental wackos are actually faded away with the other 57 genders that we don't talk about anymore.
Yeah. I read an article the other day that said the sun is actually going to go through a cooling spell. No more solar flares. And we could be cooling off. So much for global warming.
Global warming dies, and maybe Reading won't be 2 miles from the sun anymore.
No,
or
it won't
at least feel like it.
No.
Shows on national security, marijuana. If you still have people out there who think marijuana is good for you and it's a natural thing and doesn't hurt people who use it and it doesn't hurt your kids and all that good stuff, probably should tune in on the pot page. I made it really easy for you. Marijuana is kind of a long word, so we just called it pot. So there.
There you go.
Those are your options.
Yeah, I'd also like to mention Robert is doing an excellent job of editing our television show.
Yeah, Robert's just off camera making faces at us. So if you see us looking like off into the distance, if you watch the TV version, we're making faces with Robert.
Right.
Or
right.
with Sue behind the glass over there, because she can't hear, so we have to, you know, we have to use our other engineer knows sign language and we don't, so I'd say we would use sign language. We can use sign language with Sue because she speaks our kind of language, you know, the sad sign language for people who don't know it.
That's right.
Oh, all right. So today we have our two guests back, Claire Lopez and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. They were on several weeks ago. We promised you they'd be on 2 weeks ago, and then I wound up in Missouri, so sorry about that. But this is kind of like the part two of that program, and so I just called it a deep dive into Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the Muslim Brotherhood's plans to destroy America, because mostly that's what we're talking about. So they sort of did the setup for that and didn't get into a lot of the detail because, well, they didn't want people's heads to explode. But there is a lot more information, and we wanted them to be able to share that. So how about I do their bios a little bit later on so that I don't roll us right to the first break, and let Lyle and Claire, like, kick it off a little bit.
Thank you. I'll go before my more esteemed colleague.
All right. Can you go a little bit closer to your microphone? Teensy bit.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
I said I'll go before my esteemed colleague, who's much smarter than I am. I've known her for over 12 years, and she is. But first thing first, Bill, I need to suggest that with Papray Machinery, they are really an outstanding sponsor of yours. But I want you to know that the light pole that I hit, they took care of it. They fixed it. They paid for it. I didn't think those John Deere tractors that they put me on to test drive would go that fast.
I did get an inner office memo about that. And
I just had to say that for the air because that was part of the court agreement that I
yes.
would see. Yeah.
Robert, right, right now is dummying up a video of you driving a tractor into a telephone pole. That will show up on the television version.
They covered the cost of the light pole, and I think Papray is just outstanding to be with, and I thank them for their $1.85 every week that they send
me. We couldn't do it without them, Lyle. Let me just say that.
No, we couldn't, Bill. Bill, it's you, me, and Papray. Who
needs that's right.
Anyone else, right?
You got it.
Well, thank you guys for allowing us back on. Before I turn it over to Claire, who will carry the show, and I'll sit here and just have coffee and a bagel, we have been discussing the virtual takeover of America, or the attempted takeover of America by Black Lives Matters and et cetera groups, but basically it's communism. And what we have, in my perspective, is a communist takeover attempt of this nation, and most people cannot even get their hands wrapped around that concept, much less their brains and ideas. But when you begin to take a look at the Socialist Democrat Party, you take a look at Black Lives Matter, you look at Antifa and the other groups that are all merged together, their principles are identical, their philosophies, their belief systems and foundations are all the same. And what happens then is we have a series of groups that are coming absolutely against the foundations of this country and the principles for which we were established. So let me just set it up that way. And Claire will come in and correct anything I say.
No pressure, Claire. And let Lyle just shoot his face off, and you're going to fix
anything.
It all.
I mean, Lyle, you're 100% spot on, as usual.
This is being recorded, right? Because Claire never says. Yeah, because Claire never says I'm 100%.
Well, I might usually say 98.8%.
There you go.
100%. We're going to give him 100%. But it's absolutely true. I mean, what we are looking at on the streets is a full-on Marxist, Leninist, Maoist insurgency. And I think that a lot of folks in America may not even know what those words mean anymore.
Correct.
Partly because after the collapse of the Soviet Union back in 1991, we kind of took our eyes off of communism. We thought, well, that's done. We won. Let's move on. Peace dividend. And President Clinton proceeded to massively slash the budgets of both our intelligence and our military communities. And then, of course, we had the attacks of 9/11. In short, our attention was diverted. But communism never went away. The Soviet Union went away. The USSR went away. But communism never did. And what it was doing all of these years is burrowing into our society in every sector, but especially academia. Yes, other parts, media, government, yes. But academia especially, and I will call people's attention, I think we might have mentioned this last week, but the 1958 book called The Naked Communist by W. Cleon Skousen, quite a name, S-K-O-U-S-E-N, former FBI agent who wanted to make it more clear and more accessible for the average American citizen to understand all that had been presented to the House on Un-American Activities. You might recall that in the early 50s, Senator Joseph McCarthy, who was an absolute hero and totally accurate in everything he said about communism in our government. But that was maybe not so accessible for the average, you know, American citizen. So Skousen wrote, he wrote widely, but this book in particular I call your attention to, The Naked Communist, and especially in it, a chapter 13. Chapter 13 lists the 45 goals of communism in the U.S., and that was 1958 this was published, and he wrote that taking the information from the testimony of these communists and former communists that had gone before Congress and these committees in years just prior. And what did they say? Well, I'm going to point you to number 17 of the 45 goals, which says, get control of the schools. Get control of the schools. That was one of the most important goals of all 45. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. That is number 17. Okay? That's happened. It's already happened. You're looking at the streets exploding now? That didn't just happen. That is the result of decades of school indoctrination in our public schools by the forces of communism and Marxism that never went away.
Isn't that special? Just what we needed, a little more communism and Marxism in our life. We're going to have to take a really quick break at this point, and then we're going to come back with our guests, Lyle and Claire.
What shall we do about them?
Hey, Claire.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Your body, then they go. What shall we do about them?
Well, 5:30 p.m. rolls around. There's a little old joint outside of town. I only got time for a couple of beers and a jukebox song ringing in my ear. The next thing you know, the bartender's pouring, shots are flowing, got me stoned, and all I really know is that I should be going, but I'm soaking up the moment.
Okay, it was just the first song I grabbed.
Yeah, there you go.
No offense intended. Got the crazy microphone today. Crazy people with a crazy microphone. So our guest, Claire Lopez, just, you know, since she gets top billing here, according to Lyle, she's the founder and president of Lopez Liberty, LLC. She's on a mission to alert and educate Americans on the range of national security threats. God knows she'll be working forever. International, as well as from the Islamic movement, Muslim Brotherhood, and collaborators among the ranks of Marxists and communists in this country. Again, wide range of opportunity there. Claire, gosh, she was on the Citizens Committee on Benghazi. She's one of our friends who's on the EMP Commission. She was an advisor to that with our guest, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who was on, I think he's on in 2 weeks. So they're pals. A lot of our pals are pals with each other. She works on a lot of things involving the Middle East. She's written books and papers on Sharia and honestly, if you look at our national security list, you will find her in there. on lots of different things. She has a BA in communications and French from Notre Dame College. Please don't speak French because we don't know how to do it. So that would be bad. And I was an English major, though, so, you know, maybe we could have dueling languages.
Well, let's stick with English, then, by all means.
Did you major in any of those, Bill? French or English?
I was into rocket propulsion in college.
Yeah. And she completed Marine Officer Candidate School in Quantico before she declined a military commission to join the CIA. So Claire's got an interesting past. And I read, I don't know, a fifth of it. I tried to skip through. And Dr. Lyle Rapacki, our $1.87 guest who's on frequently with us, he's a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist.
He could still have you killed if
mostly.
He didn't pay.
He's always using it. He comes on here just so he can do the behavioral analysis part. Since June of 2010, he's provided selected members of the Arizona legislature, probably only the smart ones, I'm guessing that's who you select, intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. So we have him on for a wide range of things. I think that behavioral analysis thing really kind of, you know, cuts through all the factors.
It should concern you.
He's really watching you, not me. He's watching you, not me. Okay, so now that we've dispatched with that. But okay. all of their information actually is online. So, it you know, for the people who, you know, you listen to a lot of things on radio and TV and you think, do these people actually know what they're talking about? If you go to wethepeopleradio.us, their full bios are on there. So you're actually hearing from experts.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, back to the experts.
Yep.
Off you go.
Well, Claire is the expert. I just usually carry her bags, so a lot of these programs and talk shows and speeches, and I usually sit in the back and take notes and go get her water. And
that's what I would do.
You're a brother foil.
I hope you all
realize that this is totally fabricated, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, we can fabricate
Claire.
With the best of them, Claire. That's why we're still on the.
That.
That's why we're still on the radio.
Claire made a comment that was really profound. She makes many, but she was talking about the educational system and the systematic, deliberate destruction of it in our country over the last, you know, Claire, you didn't say 30, but I'm going to say 30 to even 40 years, but 30 years, not only in grade schools, high schools, but all the way up through our universities. And this is one of the key foundational proponents of the communist movement, where Democrats, socialist Democrats, meaning the Democrat Party today is not your parents' Democrat Party. It's not the party of John Kennedy. He would be astounded. He'd be, he'd be voted out if he were part of the Democrat Party today. But the socialist Democrats, so that's what they are. They're communist-based. You have Bernie Sanders. You've got others in Congress that are communists and Muslims. Both entities you would have never thought would have reached that level in our United States Congress, but they're openly communist and they're openly Muslim, and they both openly, also being redundant here, talk about the collapse of the United States. And Claire made a really profound statement that I'm sure she'll pick up on here, because it's really fundamental to what's taking place, and that is the destruction of our educational system through a myriad of ways. But one of the foundations, and I'm reading from one of the Ten Commandments, I'm not being funny, the Democrat Party Ten Commandments, which was published October 7th, 2018. And Aaron, I can send this to you later so you can post it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But Democrats believe in taxing citizens so intensely that both parents have to earn a wage. Their public school curricula train children to revere government. Let me pause there. Train children to revere and not question government rather than parents. So we're no longer going to listen to our parents. We're to listen to the government. That's what these children who are you're now seeing marching on the streets have been brought up with, that belief system. Democrats champion sexual deviance and prepare children to indulge in their sexuality from a young age. Once again, we have a variety of reports showing that kindergartners are learning everything from oral sex to bestiality, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh my gosh.
This is in grade school. This is in kindergarten, and it's allowed because it's part of the overall breakdown of our foundational beliefs, our principles, and the breakdown of the family unit. They champion abortion at all stages of fetal development and deny the differences between the sexes to produce maximum societal confusion. When the family fails, then government can take over. Right there. When the family fails, and I've already read to you how they're setting it up so children no longer have to listen to parents. They're setting it up so the family does fall apart and is no longer a nuclear family. Therefore, the government can step in, take charge, and these people are mind-numbed to just go right along with it. What we're seeing out on the streets today, what Claire was talking about, was the taking of the Marxist-Lenin philosophy and putting it into practicality. And maybe I'm misquoting Claire, so she'll jump in. But we're seeing it come out of the blackboard, or off the blackboard, out of books. And Scalson's book is absolute mandatory reading for this day and age.
One of the things, just to back up what you're saying, I was watching one of the talking heads the other day on television, which probably was a big mistake, but there was a comment made about the coronavirus and homeschooling, and what they said was one of the benefits of the homeschooling that's going on right now because the kids can't go to class is that parents are getting a taste of what they're actually being taught in school and they don't like it. So what you're saying is spot on.
They finally have a chance to do something about it
if
they want to.
Yeah, it's
given people some options.
Their eyes are being opened.
Which isn't
to
all
it.
Bad. Let's take a really quick break and come back and carry that thought through. You're listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Who is it?
Somebody asked me by text earlier today if all these people are talking about how, you know, we're going to have another civil war. And they're like, how are we going to know who's on which team? I'm like, I don't know, jerseys, the masks versus the no masks. No, just thinking maybe we should line them up by the people who like that song and the people who don't.
There you go.
If you don't like it or don't get it, you're on the other team. All right. Where are we? Oh, are we back to the list?
Did we
do the whole list?
Claire was going to add.
Oh, sorry, Claire.
Had talked about the education and.
Right.
That's
so,
good, Mr. Ringler. Thank you.
I mean, that was a perfect segue in there from Lyle. And we're talking about how communism and Marxism got into our school system for these decades past in such a way that it is now bursting out into riots on the street. How'd that happen? And people think it happened all of a sudden, but it didn't. So I mentioned that goal. Of the communists way back in the 1950s already, it had been articulated and published. But let me tell you a little more specifics about how it actually happened and continues to happen to this day. I'll give you a couple of examples. Howard Zinn, Z-I-N-N, was a communist and an enormously influential author and a writer of school textbooks. The FBI thinks he was actually a member of the Communist Party. One of those books he wrote is called A People's History of the United States, written in 1980. That is throughout our school system, public school system. Another one a little bit later is called A Young People's History of the United States. That was published in 2007. That's for a lower level, like middle school or so, the first one being more like for high school, perhaps even the college level. And these books, I've got them. I have them here at my house, are horrifically skewed to give the student the impression that the United States of America, our founding fathers, the pilgrims, the settlers, our heroes, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, never mind Columbus, on to Abraham Lincoln, that they were all nothing but horrible reprobates, white privileged white men who spent their lives trying to oppress everybody else. This is what's in these textbooks. And the idea is the overall the denigration, the abasement of Western civilization. They're not just tearing down statues out there. They are tearing down the foundational principles mm-hmm. of our country on which this country was founded. So nothing remains. Here's the point. So nothing will remain in the future to remind future generations that once upon a time, as Reagan might have said, men lived in a land that was free. I can tell you a little bit more if you want to hear about what Black Lives Matter movement is doing in our schools. You want to hear about that?
Oh, please do.
All right. So this is fast forward to the current time right now. Black Lives Matter movement has an organization among its, it's a kind of an umbrella organization, as you know. It's an affiliation of groups, right? Well, one of those affiliates is called Black Lives Matter at School. I kid you not. Black Lives Matter at School. They have a website. You can find it at that name. And it has a curriculum. It has a teacher's, I guess, sort of a guide, a teacher's guide for teaching children. That curriculum already has the endorsement of the National Education Association, which is the largest teachers union in the United States. Here's the kind of thing that the National Education Association has written at its website. They're praising Black Lives Matter at School. And here's what they say, quote, "As racism and xenophobia become more prevalent and overt in our schools and communities, it is more important than ever to listen to and elevate the voices, experiences, and history of our fellow citizens and communities under attack." Communities under attack mean anything from the alphabet soup, LGBTQ, queer, whatever. And it also means anyone who is not heterosexual, anyone who is not male, anyone who's not white. That's who they're talking about. I mean, this just goes on and on. There are guides online at their website, how to talk to young children about Black Lives Matter guiding principles, indoctrinating them with Marxist ideology like intersectionality and transgenderism at the youngest ages, kindergarten. Okay, I mean, I could go on and on, but I think I've probably made you all sick enough.
No, I think what we're seeing right now out on the streets and a lot of these protests is a direct product of that.
Yes.
Well, and then they're demanding that everyone, you know, paint that on the street, that they all kowtow to it. And I think that we have a large contingent of American citizens who don't understand what the wider meaning of that is. They think it will just, buy them a pass from being called racists. So they better bow down to Black Lives Matter or else.
You know, the alligator will eat them last. That's basically what it is, because every single revolution that's ever been, the French Revolution, except our own, I don't mean to say the American Revolution, but other revolutions that were based on communist principles, okay, the Soviet, the Russian Revolution of 1917, Mao in China in the 1930s and on into the 40s. Every single one of these turned on its own before it was done.
Yeah.
Either shot them, guillotined them, sent them to the gulag. Every single one. Stalin sent his own supporters and people to the gulag in Siberia. Mao turned on his own supporters in the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s. Millions and millions and millions of people died because of this.
Well, isn't that
so? They think, you know, that if they just, as you say, kowtow, you know, maybe they can be left.
Yeah, and isn't that sort of happening now? I mean, you look at some of these mayors that fell in line with them, and now they're being, you know, singled out.
Yeah, yeah. You can never, ever, you know, be faithful enough. Yuri Bisminov, you might recognize that name, was a Russian KGB officer who defected, I believe it was to Canada, but to the West, in 1978, if I remember the date right. And he spoke beautiful English and spent the rest of his life until died in 1992 or 3, trying to warn the West about what communism really was. You can find his videos on YouTube. Yuri Bisminov. Mm-hmm. And he in one of these videos, he says something about what I just said, that you know, these fellow travelers, the ones who, you know, going along to be part of it, to be cool, to be hip, to be part of the revolution. He says, they have no idea. When the revolution actually happens and the communists actually take control, they're going to be lined up against a wall and shot. And he meant that literally. And it is what happened in Cuba. It happened in Soviet Union. It happened in China.
Well, the appeasement of the mob is a fiction. You can't do it. Look at Target, and you know, for the people who think that we're just, you know, kind of talking trash, or that it happened there but it won't happen here. You look at the companies that have sent large sums of money to this movement, and they still burn down their stores. So you can't even pay for the protection like you did with the mob. I mean, the mob was a little more I don't know, honest maybe.
Well. Straightforward, anyway, about what they were about.
Yeah, I mean, at least you knew what you were getting.
It was strictly a business deal, strictly about money. It wasn't an ideology, and I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, deadly to those who got crosswise of them, of course. But it is a different thing when you're talking about an ideology like communism, Marxism, that makes true believers out of some people, and fellow travelers and useful idiots out of others.
Well, picking up on what Claire is talking about here, if I may, for a sec, really simply, when you take a look at what's gone on the last, let's say, month, 3 weeks, about the tearing down of statues, it's not about tearing down statues.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's about tearing down our civilization and collapsing the principles by which this nation was founded. When you tear down a statue of Abraham Lincoln, who was freeing the slaves, what are you really saying when you're tearing down other people who are saying that they were slave owners? So you're tearing down statues of alleged slave owners. Some we know were slave owners. But then you're tearing down statues of people who freed slaves and brought freedom. Well, there's no discrimination there. They're tearing down statues non-discriminatorily, because they're tearing down this culture, they're tearing down our civilization, in essence, they're tearing down the United States, which is really their purpose, is to collapse this nation through communists, like Claire is pointing out, the principles, the techniques of what they're doing. But the overriding goal here is to collapse the United States of America, and then any other Western governments across the world, into the new world order, into the global community. Okay.
No, well,
good job, Lyle. You wrecked the show.
Absolutely right. That is exactly what they're trying to do. even though all of the pasty-faced little soy boys on the street may not, probably do
like
not understand any of that.
Little soy boys.
You know, they're just out there because they think they're being cool and tough, and you know they've never darkened the doorway of a single gym in their entire lifetimes. But they don't understand.
What do you really
it.
Think,
but the
Claire?
The leadership understands it, and they're using them knowingly, wittingly, and very strategically to be the shock troops, to be the street thugs, the street mobs for them. But behind the scenes are those who are really directing things, and that goes to Beijing. We can talk some more about China. And it goes to the Islamic movement and the Muslim Brotherhood in America.
That tie, I think, needs to be made a little tighter, because that's the one, the China overlap of this is, I think, becoming fairly clear for people, especially with the virus and all that kind of stuff of late. But I've been floating the Muslim Brotherhood thing lately, you know, when I talk to people, and I said, you know, you realize they're involved in this too, and people are like, what? That seems to be something people have a hard time comprehending, and they're not seeing it. So it would be cool.
It's not intuitive, right? It's not.
No, it sounds.
You automatically think, well, these things go together.
Yeah, it sounds like you're kind of being a hater. But let's take a really quick break. So when we come back, can you make that make sense for us?
Yeah.
So that we can go out and convince other people and be useful but not idiots. That would be awesome.
Let's try.
All right, we'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. You can join us online any old time at wethepeopleradio.us for all the archives, commercial-free. And you can catch us at 23.1 channel KRDT Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 10 p.m.
Channel 26.
Sorry, Sue. Channel, no, it's 23.1.
Oh, 23.1.
Yeah, get with it, Bill.
Oh,
sorry, Sue. Can you start the music for the fourth time?
That's right. I got just one life. Aren't pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't.
Another line of demarcation. Those who still have some fight left in them. Okay, so Claire, make this Muslim Brotherhood tie make sense for people. What are they looking at that they're not seeing? Because I know it's right in front of our face, and we're not seeing it.
Well, it's not maybe so obvious for them, and I'll tell you, I get you know, a lot of what I know is because I spend a great deal of time on research, which everybody simply doesn't have the time to do. So I'm looking at a lot of online material. Everything I have is open source. It's okay. Let's go to the Brotherhood first then. So we talk about a red, black, green axis, right?
Mm-hmm.
The red, we've talked about the communists, the Marxists, the Maoists. The black being the Black Lives Matter movement. And green, we can get to, meaning the Islamic movement and the Muslim Brotherhood. So the second two are intimately connected. Begin with the green. So the Islamic movement, you might think, has a very different ideology and objectives than does communism. And you'd be right. They do. But for the moment, all of these objectives overlap. Tear down America. Create enough chaos on the street that the police are overwhelmed, delegitimized, defunded, and eventually disbanded. That's their objective. Why? Because out of the chaos that we're already seeing erupt in cities like New York, hundreds of percent increase in crime, including violent crime, murders, rapes, assaults, burglaries. Out of that chaos, each one of these elements thinks that it can be the one to grab control and impose its agenda in the aftermath. But the chaos has to come first. The breakdown has to come first. And so that's why they're all aligned right now. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood has long been associated with the Black Lives Matter movement. I'll go back 5 years. In December of 2015, two Brotherhood groups called MAS, M-A-S, Muslim American Society, and ICNA, Islamic Circle of North America, both Brotherhood, held a joint conference. Those two often do conferences together. Joint conference in Chicago, Illinois, December 2015. The executive director of Hamas in America, that's CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, that's the Hamas branch in the U.S., executive director Nihad Awad takes the stage in front of the cameras and the microphones. This is on YouTube. It's online. And he says in the lead-up, remember, December 15, lead-up to the 2016 election campaign period of the following year, he says, Black Lives Matter is our matter. He explicitly made common cause with Black Lives Matter, and that's 5 years ago. They've been working on it ever since. You've got a lot of developments more recently, I think, that are even more worrisome. You had an MAS, again, Muslim American Society, operative named Khalila Sabra, an African-American convert to Islam. Go back 5 years for her. Openly calling, at the same conference, by the way, for revolution in America. Revolution. And she meant violent revolution. She was referring back to the Muslim Brotherhood revolution across North Africa. That's what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You had Brotherhood members a lot more recently, December 2019, just six, seven months ago, again at the Mass ICNA conference. Senior Brotherhood members openly discussing on camera narratives that attacking the police for alleged brutality, racial injustice. You can see that they're all on the same page of music here. Just this year, March of 2020, and this comes from the service called Memory, Middle East Media Research Institute. They're the ones who do all the translations of speeches and sermons and things from Middle East languages like Arabic and Farsi. So this time, though, they don't have to do translation. They've got it on film. It's a Chicago imam, March 2020, this year. He is calling openly in that sermon, the Friday khutbah sermon, calling on Muslims to arm themselves against their Trump-supporting neighbors. Okay, this is happening right now.
Wow.
Let's go back overseas for a moment. And to see how this is all tied in internationally. End of June, this is just a few days ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, right? End of June. And this comes to us again from Memory. Al-Qaeda called on Americans and Westerners, meaning Muslims, to revolt against, quote, unjust rulers. That was the exact same call, revolt against unjust rulers, that went out in the year 2010 that set the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda on the Islamic uprising across North Africa. The call at that time went out from the Secretary General of the Muslim Brotherhood in 2010. What followed was the Islamic uprising across North Africa that ousted Ben Ali of Tunisia, Muammar Gaddafi of Libya, Hosni Mubarak of Egypt. Remember all that. The same call. Al-Qaeda has just done it again, and it's 2 weeks ago. Revolt against unjust rulers. They are calling on Muslims to stage a revolution.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. And then also explain the flag we've seen at some of these protests.
Which one?
Yeah, the green, red,
another,
black.
Including the Palestinian flag.
Well, the green, red, and black one, I didn't...
That's the Palestinian flag.
Right, and I didn't even think about it. That's also the African National Congress.
It could be. The configuration of the colors is distinct in each, but certainly we know that the Black Lives Matter movement is horrifically anti-Semitic. I wrote an article about this at the Front Page magazine just week or 2 weeks ago, maybe, about this very subject, the horrific anti-Semitism of the Black Lives Matter movement, which you can see for yourself if you go to the original 2016 program of the Black Lives Matter movement online. You'll have to use the Wayback Machine, but you can find it. 2016 program. It's horrifically anti-Semitic, calling Israel apartheid, genocidal. And delegations of the Black Lives Matter movement have been over to the Middle East on multiple occasions, beginning as early as I can see, about 2015, going over there to meet with Islamic jihadis. Well, is there any other kind?
Right.
To meet with jihadis of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, make common cause with Hamas in Gaza. Remember, CARE in the United States is the Hamas branch in the U.S. This is all linked. This is all linked. And to take their photos with them, to take photos with the Palestinian flag flying behind their group. They're completely linked with Jew hatred of the Islamic movement. And, well, and then what happened? End of May, that really horrific weekend of the 31st, end of May, when there was so much violence across the United States, you had rampaging mobs tearing through Jewish neighborhoods of Los Angeles, in particular the neighborhood called Fairfax of Los Angeles, California, screaming, F the Jews, spray painting horrifically awful graffiti on at least five synagogues, F the Jews, F Israel, this kind of thing. What in the world has Jew hatred got to do with George Floyd? Well, nothing. But that's because George Floyd's not the point.
Correct.
The point is to tear down America, tear down our Judeo-Christian foundations of this republic, and to do that, they have to tear down Israel.
They also...
I was going to just throw something in real quickly with what Claire just brilliantly came out with. That is one of the, we were talking about pedestals, the statutes and all that, which led into Claire sharing all this. The crisis we're looking at here, be it on the streets or spray paint or tearing down pedestals, in my perception is a moral one. And I think Claire was very clearly suggesting that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want to speak for it, but I that's what I'm hearing. It's a moral one. It comes from a culture that's been raised up through three decades of our schools not teaching morality, not teaching right and wrong, and moving kids away from their parents. It comes from a culture that has developed into a society that's lost its sense of purpose. And I see these kids today, when I'm talking about kids, is really from 20 to 32 years of age marching out there doing all of this. They really don't have a sense of purpose. They're being used as useful idiots. They're being emotionally charged and manipulated, which they've been through school, because they've been manipulated into school to not think on their own, not to be self-aware, but to go along with the masses. And they are doing the same, and we're seeing this, so they're tearing down our very culture, our very principles, the foundation of this nation, because they want to deliberately end this nation as we've all known it into what Claire is also very brilliantly discussing, which is interesting to me. And Claire, I don't understand this part. Maybe you can teach it after the next break. But
we have to take a hard break here and hit the news at the top of the hour here. But we're going to come back with Lyle and Claire. We're going to hit a whole lot more of this in the next hour. We hope you stick with us. You are listening to We the People. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.